I was sitting with friends recently as one of them, whose occupation is a therapist, began talking about how we live with the pain of our past. And she used the phrase, we have the chance to metabolize that pain into something more life-giving. I'd never heard the word metabolized used in that context. And after she used it a second time, I said, I just got to ask, is that word that you're using, metabolized, is that now part of the psychological lexicon that therapists use? She said, no. But my client seemed to think it helps, so I used it. And I loved that she went outside her discipline to shed light on her discipline. She used biology to open up psychology. And that's really what I'm hoping for in this season of Easter, as we listen to voices outside our Christian tradition. How can they shed new light on our walk as people in the walking in the way of Jesus? Or to put it another way, how can we metabolize anew the resurrection by listening to those who come from different traditions? And so we return today again to the work and writing of Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. 2 weeks ago, I introduced this 20th century Polish-born Hasidic rabbi. He was a prime contributor to the renewal of Judaism in the late 20th century, and he also offered a prophetic voice for the issues of justice in his day. His role as a prophet seems especially apt on this celebration of Earth Day. So while he wrote and marched primarily around issues of Soviet Jews, civil rights, and Vietnam, his understanding of the prophetic role of people of faith speaks to the heart of our green spirituality. His words speak to the heart of our role as environmentalists in an era that either on the one hand denounces climate change, or that on the other speaks grandly of the need for change with little behavior to back it up. Heschel understood that one of the primary roles of the prophet in the Hebrew Bible was to remind people of what they already knew. Remember was a very common imperative of the Hebrew Bible prophets. And for Heschel, one avenue to remembering was to stand in God's creation in awe. The prophet, he says, is imbued by the grandeur of divine presence. He or she is one who feels fiercely. And so we are reminded that creation care emerges from a deep life of spirit. The correlation of our heart with what is breaking the heart of God's people and creation. I remember years ago when I lived in California, I was in a conversation with a bunch of clergy in the conservative Central Valley of California where we lived, and the topic was open and affirming. This would have been in the mid-1990s. And the clergy around the table had opinions all over the map on whether the church should openly welcome LGBTQ folks. As opinions were being shared and argued, one more traditional clergy said something to the effect, human sexuality is not just an issue for us. It's a matter of life and death. His implication was that the pro-LGBTQ clergy were casually embracing an issue of the day. And I'll never forget my colleague Frank, who instantly leapt up, leaned across the table, so his face was very close to the face of the speaker, and said, we can disagree with each other on homosexuality, but don't you ever, ever suggest being open and affirming is not a matter of life and death. Because for me, it is. Now, I was a colleague of Frank. I knew he was a father of a lesbian daughter. I knew how many pastoral conversations he had with gay and lesbian folks or their parents or their siblings as they sought to find a way to live openly in the conservative Bible Belt of California. But Frank was a leader in the Open and Affirming movement in part because he felt fiercely. And everyone around the table, regardless of whether they shared the opinion he expressed, understood that he felt fiercely. Without such embodied truth, our words and actions have little heft. Another writer on issues of creation care is author and spiritual elder Joanna Macy. And she says it another way. We must reconnect with and name once again the truth that this planet is holy. And she suggests this awareness may come from one of three sources. Our recognition that the planet is holy comes maybe from our grief for our world or our planet that contradicts illusions of us being separated or isolated from creation. Secondly, our recognition of the holiness of the planet may come through breakthroughs in science. Or thirdly, from the inspirations from the wisdom traditions of native peoples and mystical voices in major religions that remind us again our planet is a sacred whole in which we, as one of the creatures, have a sacred mission. And our opportunity these days, she says, is that these three rivers, anguish for the world, scientific breakthroughs, and ancestral teachings, flow together. From the confluence of these rivers we drink, she says. We awaken to what we once knew, or as the prophet said, we remember. And we are alive in a living earth, the source of all we are and all we can achieve. Feel fiercely, fall in love again, and reawaken. The beauty of having a celebration of Earth Day in this congregation or in this tradition is not to introduce us to the need for climate advocacy and care. This congregation has been doing that literally for 50 years. We celebrate Earth Day to revisit what we know deep in our bones. It is to return what we so often feel but can't articulate in words. It's for this reason I love the canticle that we're going to sing in just a bit. We learned a bit of it as we started the service. Sarah Thompson's lyrics go this way. Canticle of the morning dove, angels in pine and spruce, fox and the bear and the moose, listen to the choir above. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis. Heron delivers the homily, and some of you may prefer the heron homily. Incense fills the air. Cedar bows in prayer. And I am lost in reverie. Feel fiercely. Fall in love again. As a survivor of the Holocaust, and as a religious minority, Heschel understood that sustaining this feeling is difficult. Dreams are worn down. Enthusiasm is deflated. Cynicism takes over. He saw it in many of the movements he was a part of, including the civil rights movement. And his high view of God comes to bear. To us of this generation, he writes, to us who have walked through the ruins of aborted dreams and desecrated ideals, the question is, how does the road sign read? Does it read, abandon all hope, ye who enter here, or to despair is to betray? At the end, God's mercy will provide. He noted that we face the twin pressures of callousness and indifference. To speak about God and remain silent, and I think for us, silent on climate change, is blasphemous. God is filled with compassion, concern, and pathos, whereas the tragedy of human beings is our indifference and impartiality. The root of sin is callousness. He was no stranger to this indifference and callousness. the president of the Jewish Theological Seminary where he taught, Arnold Eisen notes, the man who lost almost his entire family in the Holocaust must have been plagued by doubt as to God's presence in the world. And I think he was able to speak of it, nonetheless, because of experience of God's presence in his life that contradicted the massive evidence for God's absence. Eisen concludes, so there wasn't certainty about God's presence available, but there was experience and there was faith. I love this. No guarantee of certainty, but appreciation for experience and faith. Which is how Heschel understood our role as people of faith. A Jew is asked to take a leap of action rather than a leap of thought. He is asked to do more than he understands in order to understand more than he does. Let's let that sink in. That sounds like a rabbinic teaching if I ever heard one. We take a leap of action rather than a leap of thought. Doing more than we understand in order to understand more than we do. And I think as we try to get practical in our approach to creation care, this is how we maintain a prophetic voice. It is first to work diligently but creatively, to be what Heschel called a spiritual effrontery. Creative dissent, he said, is not simply repudiation. It offers a vision. That is why we need photographers and artists, the poets and the dancers and the scientists, and the love of creation, all of them. It's why we need gardeners and movie makers. It's why we value Celtic spirituality and Native American religious life for their deep connection to the earth. We celebrate Earth Day because our lives need celebration and joy and praise. I remember years ago, this congregation was part of an ecumenical effort for a number of years for events called Food, Faith, and Earth Day, held on the Sunday closest to Earth Day. And one year we invited noted theologian, environmental theologian, Norman Wiersbe to come and speak. And my wife Tammy and I had lunch with him after worship before the afternoon event. We had a great time, and then he asked as I was leaving with him, he said to Tammy, aren't you going to come to the Earth Day event? And she noted, you know, springtime is a busy season for school teachers. And so I've been working 6 days a week at school, so on this one sunny Sunday afternoon, I'm going to celebrate Earth Day in my garden with my hands, thank you very much. Which Norman loved and actually expressed he wished he could do the same. So we work diligently and creatively. And secondly, to be prophets in our age is to pray while recognizing the limits of our prayer language. Last week, I listened to a lovely Irishman, Patrick O'Talma, from the Corrymeela community in Northern Ireland, share about his morning prayer ritual. He's a Catholic man. He travels around the world, but the Corrymeela community is one that seeks to work with nonviolence and reconciliation all across the United Kingdom in particular. But his daily prayer concluded with this phrase, I greet God, and I greet the God who is more God than the God I greet. I greet God, and I greet the God who is more God than the God I greet. It's got a beautiful sound when you hear it in Irish, too. But it is to remember that no matter how vast our imagination and how earnest our prayer, we have to do so with a deep trust that the Spirit is greater than us. And that the Spirit will give us the strength, the creativity, and the longing, and understanding for the long and critical journey. It is not up to us to figure it all out. So on this Earth Day, may we remember the promise of life given to us on Easter. May we cherish the power of all God's creatures and creations to help us fiercely feel justice in the being. And may we face the discouragement that is sure to come with a leap of faith, a leap of hope, and a leap of vision for what can be.